Aren't you glad your chains are gone today? If they're not gone, they can be gone today before you leave. After you hear the word, your chains can be gone today if you are willing to be made whole. You're not slow. Exchange this for that. They're all important, of course, and they're all serious, but I got a serious message this morning about exchanging this for that. You ever been to the Walmart customer service desk? Some of y'all tried to take your car back last week and exchange it, didn't you? They take everything back. I got a Pontiac sitting out there I paid for. You know, we love to exchange things. You get a wrong shirt size. By the way, I'm extra large, just in case y'all need to know that. I'm not extra large. I'm extra large shirt. So you get a wrong size, right? You take it back to Walmart, exchange it for the right size. You don't like the color tie somebody got you. And I understand people can get y'all some ugly ties. I get it. So you take that tie back and you exchange it for something you want. You go to a restaurant, right? Get a bad meal. I don't like your chicken pasta. Well, let me bring you something else. Bring me some pizza. That's safe, right? So I exchange pizza for the pasta. I'm exchanging this for that. Spiritually talking, we are carrying this. Whatever your this is today, whether it's pain, fear, addiction, guilt, discouragement, depression, uncertainty, doubt, whatever it is you're carrying, all of us are carrying a this morning. We're carrying some kind of this. And God is offering that in exchange if we'll allow him to give us what he has waiting on us. See, the gospel truly is the good news. And if the gospel that is being preached does not edify and is not good news, it's not really the gospel. Because the gospel is not this, church. That's not the gospel. The good news is this, and I did a message 2 weeks ago, and I actually had Mom make me a hard copy. I got it as a CD in my drawer to keep because this message to me was a really special divine message from God. So I wanted a hard copy of it. It was called What is the Gospel? It's on the website. Go listen to it. If you missed 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, go listen to the message, What is the Gospel? The gospel is not fear. The gospel is not intimidation. The gospel is not rules and regulations. The gospel is this, that Jesus Christ died for your sins and he rose for your righteousness. That's the gospel. I don't have no sin, Pastor. Yeah. We got some sin, and we born in sin. Little Sky back, I got the privilege of babysitting her. I got the privilege of being with her a little bit before church. And we're back in the nursery, and she's just so sweet and precious and cute, and she was just on her best behavior for me, Mom. She danced for me. We talked about her second grade class, her teacher. She was a fox, dressed up as a fox one day, and a unicorn. We talked about all that stuff. Talk about how her daddy shaved his head, all that stuff. We talked about all kinds of things. If you leave your kid with me, you might want to program them a little bit, okay? So we're talking, and it's just wonderful. And I know Sky is sweet and beautiful, but there's times I bet Sky is not sweet. And I bet there's times that Sky argues her mother, times she gets ugly and mean and sassy and don't listen. That's the sin part of us. It's like Don said one Sunday. We passed out these little balls I had written, different things you needed, forgiveness, healing, love, hope. And I said, well, who needs what this morning? And Don raised his hand, so brave and bold, raised his hand and says, Pastor, I need something. I said, what do you need, Don? He said, well, I love Jesus, but I cuss sometimes. What do I need? So I happen to have a ball that said forgiveness. Here you go. Hang on to forgiveness. Somebody shared with me last week, I won't say who, not to embarrass them, but they shared with me, they have that ball I gave them. They shared this last Sunday. It says, whenever I'm going through something, I pull that little ball out that I got, and I begin to hold it, and I begin to look at it, and I begin to feel the calm of God come over my life. Isn't that amazing? Because we serve a living God, not a distant God. He's not way up yonder somewhere. He's right where you're at. And that's what I love about God. He's where you're at. He's in your this right now, whatever your this is. And all of us have it, whether you're 6 years old, 16 years old, 45 years old, or 90 years old, we all have a this we're carrying. And what God wants to do is exchange his that for your this. Give me what you're carrying and let me give you what I'm offering. I mean, man, the offer that God gives us as humans. I mean, our chains are gone. I love that verse that says, his intentions are good for me, right? He offers good to me. He does. God is not trying to get you. God is not in the gotcha kind of business. God is not in the street corner preacher that's damning you to hell and telling you everything you've done wrong. That's not the God that I serve. The God that I serve is a God with open arms who says, I have died for your sins and I've risen for your righteousness, and the good gift I have, why don't you take it? If we paint the right picture of God, people would flock to get this good news. All of you in here are struggling with something. I know you are. All of us, including myself, we carry burdens, we carry battles, we carry temptations, we carry weaknesses, we carry brokenness, we carry pain, either from the past, the present, or maybe the fear of the future, but we're carrying something. And God says, if you would just come to me and exchange what you have for what I have, man, things will be so much better. Let's read some verses. This is Matthew 11, 28, very familiar passage to most of us. This is Jesus himself speaking, and he's talking to the people around him, saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, which means heavy burdened. All ye that labor. What's he talking about? How are we laboring? Man, life is work, isn't it? Don, being married is work, ain't it? Rodney, having kids is work, right? I mean, man, life's hard. We're laboring all the time. We're laboring to try to be the best husband, best father, best provider, best worker, right? Best worker at work, best person at home. We're laboring to be the best Christian. We're laboring. We're sweating. We're laboring through life. And life is hard. The car does break down. The dog does go to the vet. Grandma does get sick. You do lose your job. Things happen. And we're laboring through life. And we think that the harder we work, the more we can get. But actually, God's the opposite of that. God's all about resting in him. Not laboring. Not working. Just relax. There's an old commercial years ago telling my age. I don't remember what was advertised. I remember the commercial. In fact, I did it to Melanie in the car last night because she was, I did this to her. There's an old commercial where, remember? Debbie. Meditating, had her arms up, she's in a yoga thing and something about, I don't know, but they're trying to calm her down and she holds her little fingers up and Debbie. We need that sometimes, don't we? Jesus. Just to calm us down. Man, we labor so hard. We carry so much stuff, right? You know, in high school, we try so much to fit in and impress our friends and be acceptable. And then 2 years out of high school, you don't even remember them. And they don't care. You're out with, man, I went to my high school reunion, me and Bill did our 30 years, and there were people I didn't even know who they were. I didn't even recognize them. I'd like to look at their name tag, like the old bar, the Andy Griffith episode, remember? I'd look at their episode, break out the old annual. Who's that? My God, boy, they don't look nothing like they did. It's kind of like Bruce the other night, says, you know, I said, no, like Dad said, not Bruce, Dad said, he went to his reunion, his more than 30 years. He went to his reunion. He said, man, everybody got so old. Isn't that our perception? Everybody got so old, but not me. Man, we labor in life. It's hard. And Jesus says, why are you laboring? Now, in this context, it's a little more specific. He's actually talking about why are you laboring with religious rituals or religious things that can't bring you any peace. Isn't it a burden to try to be religious? That's a burden. It's really a burden to try to carry the weight of being keeping the legalistic part of the law instead of just resting and saying, Jesus, I want to be what you want me to be, not what the law, because we know the law's been fulfilled through Christ. We know that. But we got folks still laboring, carrying that weight, carrying that pain. He says, all you that labor, all you heavy laden, come to me. I'll give you rest. Man, we need rest inside. You know why insomnia is at an all-time high? Because people aren't resting in their souls. We can't sleep. People are not resting in their soul. We have no peace. There's no rest for our souls. We have anxiety. The pharmaceutical company are making billions of dollars off people being depressed and anxious, you know, because we can't find rest. And I battle anxiety. Man, I'll tell you that. I'm not on medication for it. It's not a major deal, but there's certain things that fire my anxiety up. And it gets me anxious. There's certain things. I'm not some Fruit Loop. I don't want y'all to think that. But there are things that made me anxious. When I'm riding an elevator with other people, I get pretty anxious. I'm not talking. I'm quiet. I'm looking around, hoping that elevator stops the right place and the doors open when it's supposed to. And I'm sitting there freaking out till it opens. Yeah, I need rest for my soul. Jesus offers that rest. Man, you know, we go through so many changes in our lives. You know, when we're 8 years old, we all want to do is grow up, right? I want to be a teenager. Then when we become a teenager, we're miserable. I hate being a teenager. It's horrible. I want to be an adult. This year I become an adult. I wish I was 8 years old again because I hate being an adult. Adulting's hard, right? Then we cross 40 and 50, and we go in different seasons of our lives, and we're like, man, half my life's over. I mean, I look at my own life, and I know to y'all, you don't see it. I still look like that young pastor, which I am. But I look at my life, and in the natural, it will be way above the norm if I live as many years now as I've already lived. If you double my age, that'll be a long life. You get thinking about those things, right? Time just goes by and our whole lives we're laboring to try to find peace, the right job, the right car, the right guy, the right girl, the right relationship, the right money, the right this. If I can just, that's what, none of that gives us peace because all of it, there will be a day if the Lord doesn't return that me and Melanie will one day be apart by the process of age and I will lose or she will lose. She'll definitely lose. I will lose. The one I love, my mom and dad, they're here today, and they're healthy, and they're great, and their blood work looks awesome. Good job, guys. There'll be a day in the natural, if the Lord doesn't return, that I probably won't have my mom and dad on the earth. Those things pass away. We're in our third house we've lived in as a married couple. The other two houses are history. They're gone, not ours no more. I've had dozens of cars in my lifetime, right between me and Melanie. All of them are gone. We've had pets, gone. Things change. We can't place our peace in things that perish, but I can place my peace in what will never perish, and that is the hand of God and His Word that will never, ever leave me or forsake me. Next verse, Brandon. He says this, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. You know what a yoke is? Besides the yellow part of the egg. A yoke means you're joined to something. You're connected. Me and Melanie are yoked together. For 27 years, me and Melanie are yoked together. And it's not a negative thing. I'm not saying we're yoked together. No, we're yoked together. We're pulling in the same direction every day of our lives. We're marching forward hand in hand with the same vision and same purpose. God has put us together to be a team together. I'm yoked with Melanie, and she brings me great peace. She's yoked with me, and I bring her great strength. We are yoked. Why are y'all laughing? We're yoked together. Jesus says, join me. Yoke up with me. You're yoking up with the world. You're yoking up with the things of the world. Don't you wish, like the old 80s song, Turn Back Time, that you could turn back time and had not yoked yourself to those people in your life that got you on the road you're on. Or that led you down paths that you regret ever going down. Because you yoked yourself with the wrong thing. When you yoke yourself with the world, you know what the outcome is? Misery, heartache, and brokenness. But when you yoke yourself with Jesus, there is life and life everlasting and life more abundantly. That's what we know to yoke ourselves with. Yoke ourselves with what matters and what produces the right outcome. The reason I didn't date bad girls in high school is because I didn't want to be a bad boy. I did want to be a bad boy inside, but I knew I couldn't be a bad boy. So I stayed away from bad girls because I realized if I was a bad girl, I would become a bad boy. And so I looked for girls that weren't bad. And what I mean by that is girls that shared my values. And so growing up, I dated several church girls because they were in my church, right? They had church, went through most of my church girls. excuse me, Stacy. never date Stacy. But I dated a lot of church girls, trying to stay, you know, within the circle. And then I realized if I yoke myself to the wrong thing, I will become what that is. When you yoke yourself to the lifestyle of drugs and alcohol and, let's say the big proper word, fornication, when you yoke yourself to those things, and just in case you don't know, I want to break it down, fornication is sexual impurity. When you yoke yourself to those things, then you become that thing. And that's what's important, that we yoke ourselves to God and what His Word says. Because as you know, those things can bring pleasure. I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, going out, having a good time, doing those things, sleeping around, that can have a moment of pleasure for the flesh. But it leads to an emptiness that is still there. You're not satisfied. You're not filled. You still lack something. You still are in need of something. You're still missing something. And that missing piece is the eternal peace that only God offers. The world don't offer that. When you exchange yourself to sin, you become what sin is. When you exchange your life for God, you become what God wants you to be. God, I want what you're offering. Man, I want that peace. I want that rest for my soul. I'm tired of the misery I'm carrying, and I'm tired of the shame I'm carrying. It says, take my yoke, hook up with me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. You know, we can sleep at night with such ease knowing that I'm in God and He's in me, and that all my trust and faith in Him. And I'm tired of giving myself away to the world who gives nothing back but misery and pain. It's all it gives you. And if people could see the right picture of Jesus, but we've mispainted it because we threaten people with the gospel instead of presenting the gospel. Here I am, ladies and gentlemen, to present to you the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who loved you unto death, who rose that you could forevermore be with Him. His name is Jesus Christ. All your sins, past, present, and future, have been washed away by the one offering of Jesus Christ, who went in one time and for all to obtain eternal redemption for you. I don't have to worry about my next step in life because He took care of that step. I don't have to worry about where I'm going later because He took care of that yesterday. I don't have to worry about my tomorrow because yesterday He fixed my tomorrow. I've got rest in that and peace in that He is my Savior, and I will live with Him forevermore because my faith is in what He has done for me. That's good news. It's wonderful news. But we don't present the gospel quite that way. And what Rodney said, it's about just coming to Jesus, not about religion, not about all the rules. It's about just coming to Jesus. Man, people that came to Jesus for hope and for help, He healed them. He touched them. He spoke to them. When Zacchaeus was in that tree, if you remember the story of Zacchaeus, he was a corrupt politician. He was up in a tree wanting to see Jesus. Jesus came his way. He didn't say, Zacchaeus, come on down. Give me 10 Hail Marys, 30 push-ups, fast for 40 days. Let me slap some oil on you, speak in tongues, and then I might take you home with me. You know what he said? Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house today. I'm saving you as you are. I'm meeting you where you're at. I'm offering you something that your crooked money stealing can't buy. Though you may have millions of coins in your house, you still are hopeless and helpless without me. Do you know Zacchaeus was missing something? He wouldn't have been in that tree, would he? Why was he in that tree? You know, why this? And I've used the example many times. Think about our mayor, Mayor Kute. Most of us know Mayor Kute in Statesville. Imagine going down Center Street, going down Broad Street, and you see that 6'5" Mayor Kute up under a tree. What you doing, Mayor? Well, I heard this Jesus of Nazareth coming by. I just want to check it out. Why do you want to check it out? Why was he up there? What did he care? He's a crooked. What did this poor Jewish man What it had to do with this man? I mean, think about this. In terms we use today, some of y'all use this. Don't say you don't. Let's just be real. We're in church. Jesus to this Zacchaeus might have been considered, and I'm not blaspheming, I'm just saying in text of who Jesus was, as a, because Jesus had nothing, right? He come from parents that had nothing. Zacchaeus was a wealthy man. And here is Jesus coming by. What did this poor Jewish man who had nothing physically or naturally to offer Zacchaeus, why was he so intrigued by him? Something inside was stirring in Zacchaeus. Something was missing. He'd heard about Jesus. I heard he healed the sick and he raised the dead. I heard all this hype about his teachings and about he is, you know, the Son of God and all this stuff. Something drew him to that place to make that effort to want to see him. And his effort paid off. And Zacchaeus exchanged his life to receive the life of Christ. He even went back to do this. He went and paid the people back he had ripped off. And he paid them back fourfold according to Jewish law. Can you imagine? Wouldn't that be awesome? Somebody come knock on your door. Hey, you know, the mechanic that worked on your car. I got saved and I ripped you off last week. I took $1,000 from you and all I did was charge the battery. Here you go. Here's $4,000 back. What? Man, he made it right. You know why he made it right? His heart was changed. Only Jesus changes your heart. Money don't change it. Sex don't change it. Jobs don't change it. Cars don't change it. Houses don't change it. The Carolina Panthers can't change it. The Tar Heels can't change it. Nothing can change your heart except the power and love and knowledge of a risen Savior who died and loves you beyond every fault and every failure. And we make it so hard to get people to Jesus, don't we? Man, we just get our big old fat, talk about me, big old fat selves right in the way. They can't get to Jesus, man. It's like me standing in front of this plant. Here's Jesus, y'all. Come touch him. Come on, can't y'all get him? Come on now. A little bit hard. Pray a little bit longer. Press through. Press through. Press through. And they're sitting there saying, fool, get out of the way. Oh, there's Jesus. Now they can touch him. But we do that with all of our stuff instead of just loving them. Look what he says in verse 30. This yoke is easy. This joining together is so easy. And the burden is so light. It's hard carrying around guilt and shame, and that's a heavy burden. Condemnation, that's heavy. It's hard to carry that pain, that unworthiness that we carry. It's hard. It's a big burden. It's a big burden to carry the secrets that we try to hold from everybody else and put on a different face in front of the people we know and but behind the scenes have this dark world we're living in. Man, what a hard burden that is. It's a hard burden to try to smile when you feel like cutting somebody. Right? It's hard. It's hard to smile, man, when you're so mad at the world. And you're mad. And, you know, people say this all the time. God knows how you feel. Some of you may be mad at God, blaming God for things in your life. And we know it's not God's fault. We know all things work together for them that love God. We know that. But we blame God. Why God let that happen? God let that happen. God, we get angry. God knows you're angry, and God still loves you. God knows you're mad at him, and he still loves you. For the one that curses God, he still loves you. For the one that rebels against God, he still loves you. For the one who says, I want nothing to do with you, God, I don't even believe in you, he still loves you. And once we get that knowledge to people to realize, man, I can't outrun it, I can't out-sin it, I can't out-rebel it, I can't outdo nothing to it. That love for he has for me is never going to change. No matter what a fool I act like or how ugly I am, God's going to love me. He may not love what you're doing. It's like we don't love what you're doing. It's your kids, your spouse, your husband. But he loves you. He loves you. And that's the beauty of the gospel. Because the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the ones that did all of his work and all of his will and did the good things, shout us out, and gave their tithes, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever lived right, was righteous and holy and shouted and raised their hands would go have everlasting life. It didn't say that. It said, for God so loved the world. That's even Stacy. Ain't that good news, Stacy? Praise the Lord. I mean, Stacy was on God's mind. For God so loved the world, each and every single one of us, that he gave this sacrifice, that whosoever believes on Jesus, not denomination, not religion, not regulations, not fear, not intimidation, whoever believes in Jesus, the Son of God, shall have everlasting life. Man, that's what he's offering today. But we're carrying this junk around and we don't want to let go of it. Don't want to let go. So God can put something else in our hands that we're carrying. I want to give you an exchange. Will you come to the counter and lay it down and let me give you something back in return that's much better than what you're carrying right now? Because, man, what you're carrying only brings pain. Next verse. 1 Peter 5:6, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself under the hand of God. That means surrender. God, I surrender myself to you, my life. I surrender it. I give it to you. We don't want to surrender. We don't want to surrender. Me and Mel were talking to a couple of the night, and one of the ladies we were talking to said that she ran from God for a long time. Husband got saved, and, you know, she didn't want to get saved. So I ran. I liked my life. I didn't want to change. I didn't want to change, but God kept talking. God kept speaking. God kept coming. So one Sunday morning, I gave it all up and surrendered my whole life. She said, the best thing that ever happened. It changed. This is a young lady in her mid-20s. She said, it changed my whole life, giving my heart to God. Why are we running from this great offer? It ain't like God's going to give you the cooties. But we treat God that way, don't we? I don't want no Jesus. I don't want no blood of the Lamb. I don't want no salvation. No. I don't want to be justified. That sounds like a TV show. I don't want to be, I mean, really? If I get sanctified, I'm going to be all freaky. No, you're not. Man, we've so misinterpreted what the Word of God is saying. You know what sanctified means? It don't mean you run around the church 50 times looking holy. Sanctified means set apart. God has chosen James, D for divine, Lewis, and has set me apart for his purpose. I don't belong no more to the world. God has exchanged me out. Man, he took the sin out of my life and placed within me his righteousness, his holiness, his justification, himself inside of me. I've been set apart. I've been declared righteous, not by me, not by what I do, not by what I've done, not by what I will do, but by what Jesus has already done. That's how I'm righteous. That's how I'm justified. But we run from this offer because the offer's not been presented right. It's like a good car salesman, right? Here's the deal. If you give them a monthly payment of what you want to pay, they'll get you in that car. They'll make it sound really good. What they won't tell you, oh, we can get you in there for $250 a month. No problem. Sign the contract. You get home, it's $250 a month for 12 years. What? 12 years? You said $250 a month. They can make it sound good. The offer's too good. I can afford $250 a month for 12 years. Or you could pay $400 a month for 5 years, right? You do the math. But they make it sound good. They give you what you want to know. Sales gimmicks and ads and papers, right? We love the BOGOs, right? Everybody know what BOGO means? Everybody knows that now, don't they? Buy one, get one free. That buy low paper comes in the mail. Y'all are looking at those BOGOs. They got Keebler chocolate chip cookies, man. Buy one, get one free. Wow. We're so excited, man. It's presented just right. You know, it's all about the perception of how it's painted. So is Jesus. So is the gospel. When it's presented in a way that's contrary to who God is, that's why folks don't want it. But man, when we present the gospel as it is, man, I've got something to give you that you don't have, that you need desperately. And there's no strings attached. I'm not mad at you. I want to give it to you freely. I'm not holding it back from you. You just got to come get it. You just got to receive it. Don't you want what I've got? But pastor, I want it, but what if I don't change? Man, God is going to help you change. God's going to help you change. You don't need people doing that. You need the Holy Spirit doing that. And the Holy Spirit will do that. Next verse. Casting all your care upon him. God, I want to cast all of this. I want to get it. You know, you think about when you cast, when you're fishing and you do a casting motion. You take that rod back, right, and you cast it out in front of you, 20, 30, 40 feet, whatever. You cast it. You know what you're doing? You're taking what you have with you, and you're throwing it away from you. When we are casting our care, I'm taking it off of where I'm at, and I'm throwing it over to Him. I'm casting it. Cast your burden upon God. Sounds easy, right? But sometimes that's hard to do. How can we give our burden to God? We trust Him with it. God, here it is. God, I can't keep fighting. I'm tired. And I'm not going to labor no more, Lord. I'm going to rest in You and trust that You're going to fight for me. Now, we do our part. Yes, we do our part. But we don't let fear and worry consume our lives. Remember what Jesus said? Don't be anxious about anything, but in all things, with supplication and prayer, make your request known before God. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. Then He gives a story about the flowers don't spin and toil, and you know all of this, and you know just you know, trust in God that He takes care of the fowls, the air, the birds, and takes care of the flowers. He'll take care of you. Them little birds, man. God takes care of them birds. If the cat don't get them, God takes care of them birds. They're flying around. They're getting their worms, getting their, you know, eating. They're hibernating. They're building their nest. There's a tree for them to sleep in. There's food for them to eat. God provides. God takes care of His creation. He takes care of us. Cast that care and let Him have it. Exchange your burden and take on His mercy. I want to make an exchange today, God. I'm getting rid of it. Here You have it. And then I'm going to receive back what You've got waiting on me. Peace, joy, hope, loves, rest, all rest. You know, we can't control anything really in our country. We've learned that. All we got is a vote, and sometimes, you know, not sure how that counts. But we got a vote, so we vote. But none of us in this room today, none of us, unless you're on some kind of secret board or mission I don't know about, none of us can have any influence really on what happened in Washington, D.C. We can't have any influence. We're not going to change any laws. We're not going to do anything to change our tax bracket. We can't do any of that. We can't change anything. But we get so worked up and labored over that, don't we? Oh, we get so. I work with a guy at a funeral home part-time, and he's a great guy, but he's an extreme, extreme liberal, open liberal. I mean, he's out there. So we have a great relationship. So he's older. I talked to him and stuff. And I told him yesterday. And I said, man, I said, we bury you. You know what I'm going to put in your casket? He said, well, I'm going to put a Trump hat. Oh, I'll haunt you. Here's what he said. It'll be the fastest resurrection you've ever seen. I thought it was so funny. But boy, he gets fired up about that stuff. You know, we talk back and forth and stuff. And we tease. We good relationship. But you know, I'm sitting there thinking, we really do get fired up about things, don't we, so much, that we really can't control. Just rest. Who's the king? It ain't Elvis. That's Krista. Never mind. It ain't Elvis. It ain't Michael Jackson. It ain't Prince. It ain't Madonna. Who's the king? It's Jesus. He's over it all. Man, He's over everything that moves. They can't nothing crawl without God telling them to crawl. Nothing. And I believe that. So I'm going to rest in that. I'm going to do my part as an American. I'm going to do what all you do. I'm going to complain and grumble about who's in office. We all do that. I'm going to complain and grumble, but I can't do nothing about it. So I just rest in God. Say, Lord, my care is on You. Because you know what? Every president stops being president too, right? After 4 years or 8 years, that's over. The 8 years President Obama's in office, that's over. The Bush years, they're over. All that's passed away. But you know who's still on the throne? The Lord. And He says that I have a seed to come out of David, the lineage of David, that will reign forever. Forever. Jesus is Lord forever. One more verse, get you out. I was on 11 o'clock. Okay. I mean, it's only 10 o'clock. This is John 5. I have, you know, somebody told me this morning, said, Pastor, they're a big clock person, okay? They have that thing about clocks. They've got to be near a clock. So, don't know what that's about, but anyway, might need some counseling. Anyway, They said, I don't care, Pat, if you preach for 2 hours, as long as I can see a clock. I said, okay. So if I go over, it's that person's fault. John 5:1. This is the story of the Pool of Bethesda. Now, this ties in what I'm talking about. There was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And at Jerusalem, by the sheep market, there was a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Bethesda, having five porches. This is a place where the beggars hung out. This would be what we call today the Walmart corner. They're all out there holding their signs, laying around, begging for food. And they're getting really good now. They're having little cute dogs with them, you know. And they're petting it when you roll by in your car, you know. And they got different signs, you know, the God bless signs, make you feel guilty. They're getting real creative. But they're all around there laying out. And they're begging for money. What's happened is they're coming into this temple. A lot of traffic came through there. And so they strategically positioned themselves there to try to get money. There were cripples there, lame people, different people. So there was a multitude of impotent folks, you know, unhealthy people that couldn't walk, couldn't work. They really couldn't. They were blind. They were crippled. They were withered. And they were waiting for the moving of the water. Ah, waiting for the moving of the water. Next verse. For an angel... We've been talking about angels for the past several weeks on Wednesday nights, doing an angel series. Look at this. An angel went down in a certain season of the pool and troubled the water. This means he stirred the pool. The presence of God at certain times would touch this water and turn it to a place of healing. Then the first one, after the water was stirred, would step in and they would be made whole of whatever disease they had. So picture this pool around this temple. Beggars, crippled, blind, they're all around. They're all hoping and they're waiting for that to be their time to get healed. They're waiting. God is stirring the water. The first one that steps in gets healed. So here comes Jesus by. A certain man had been there for 38 years of infirmity. He never walked. 38 years he'd been there waiting on the moving of the water. 38 years he had waited. 38 years he had this issue couldn't be healed of. Look what happens. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew he had been there a long time in that situation. And he said to him, and here's the key, church, right here. He asked him, kind of an odd question, isn't it? Will you be made whole? Now think about this. I mean, they'd be like somebody in a wheelchair that couldn't walk coming up here. And I look at them and says, do you want to be made whole? Duh. Yeah, pastor. I'm kind of like a, you know, crypt up here. Ain't walked 40 years. Yeah, I love to be made. That's a stupid question, right? Do you want to be made whole? It's a powerful question Jesus asked. Are you willing? Do you want to? Are you willing to surrender to me? Are you ready to surrender to me? Are you ready to exchange your infirmity for the healing I have waiting on you? Are you ready? Do you want it? Will you be made whole? Verse 7. And the crippled man said, sir, I have no man that when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. And while I cometh, another one gets in before I do. So I don't have a way to get there, God. Yeah, but I can't make my way there. When the water is stirred, somebody always beats me there. You ever feel that way in life? They got that job. They beat me. They got that. They beat me. They got that. They beat me. They're always ahead of me one step. They're always, you know, Tom Brady, right? Always one step ahead. Always. Look what he says, verse 8. Jesus said to him, rise up, take your bed, and walk. He was healed without getting in the water, wasn't he? He was healed outside the water. He exchanged his crippleness for a divine healing. And go to the next verse just so y'all know that God did do what he says he'll do. And I want y'all saying, well, I don't know if he got healed. Look at verse 9. And immediately the man was made whole, took up his bed, rolled up his little sleeping bag and his little hobo pole, and he walked on the same day as the Sabbath. 38 years he couldn't do nothing. Now he jumps up and he's walking. He exchanged his crippleness for God's healing. It's really easy to do. We have no problem exchanging anything in our life we want to take back. After the queen to that, she gets it. She don't mind. She'll exchange it. She'll go right back and exchange it. Wrong color, don't like it. Too much money. I'm broke this week. I want to take it back. Whatever the issue is. I'm going to exchange it. We have no problem asking for our money back, do we? If our steak comes out batted after church, we will probably complain about it. This steak is horrible. It's bloody. It's rare. It's fatty. I ordered well done and lean. What are y'all thinking? We're not going to sit there and eat that. We're going to want it to be exchanged. We won't. I guarantee, you know, when you eat today and you're try to be completely correct. It's not waitress, it's not stewardess. What's it called? Server. Your server is going to exchange a bill for your money. Here's the check. And then we got to lay the money back. There's exchange that's happening. Spiritually, church, we can exchange what we're carrying today for what God is offering. Do you want it? God, I'm ready to get rid of what I'm carrying. Marty, come up here and play a little something soft. I'm ready to let go of what I'm holding so I can receive. I mean, when your hands are full, you can't hold no more. You ever had your hands full trying to get through a door and you're getting your elbow and you're trying to open? You can't even get through. You got to lay something down to be able to open the door. When our hands are full of the stuff the devil's given us, we don't have any room to receive what Christ has. Let's pray. Father, I pray the hearts have heard the word today, and I pray, God, that they will open themselves up to let go of what they're holding and what they're carrying. God, we will lay it down and exchange it for what you are offering. Your offer is so much better. Your offer of peace, your offer of love, your offer of acceptance. When the world rejects us, when our friends reject us, when other people make fun of us and talk about us and put us down, you, God, only love us. You only edify us. You only build us up. You only strengthen us. You never put us down. You never walk away, and you never forsake us. You are God forever, and you change not for every generation. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name. I want to offer you this morning a chance to let go of what you've got. You're carrying things you shouldn't be carrying this morning. It's time to make an exchange. It's time to give up what you're holding and let God give you what he's got to give you. And walk away out of this place today with something different in your hand. If you want prayer this morning, if you want to, this is a step of faith this morning to walk up here and say, I'm ready to exchange the old for the new. I'm ready to exchange what I've got for what you have, God. I'm willing to accept this offer of your peace, your love, your mercy, your power, because the world can't give it to me. The world so doesn't satisfy. I'm still hungry and still empty, still thirsty and still void. I'm still hopeless and still restless. But with God, I am satisfied. If that's you today, won't you walk up here and stand with me? Let's pray that God will give you, that you are willing to accept this offer of himself into your life today, that he will take away what you're holding and put in your hands what you need. That is you. Walk up here today. Let's pray together. got it waiting on you. I promise you, he's got it. This morning, what an offer God gives us, huh? Man, what an offer. It's the best offer in town. It puts the buy low ass to shame. I'm just telling you, think about that, man. Everlasting life for the people of God. Hallelujah. Y'all be seated this morning. If we get the usher to come up here, receive our morning offering to the Lord. Me and you come up here on these drums, if you don't mind, y'all. Unless Sherman wants a drum. You want a drum, Sherman? You'll pass today, okay. Don't forget vets. That's pretty cool. Throwing the money in, I hear you. Excited. Don't forget veterans next Sunday morning. If you're here about 15 minutes early, it'd be great. So we just go through a little something before service. All of our vets, try to be here a little bit early next Sunday. Father, we thank you for this time of giving. We thank you for the offer, God, that you've given to all humanity, this offer of everlasting life. You're a good God. You're a good, good Father, Lord. And we know we're loved by you, and we thank you so much. Bless every seed that is sown today, God. Bless this local church as it is a part of your kingdom, and meet the needs as you always do. We thank you for it and give you praise for being so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen.